Welcome, everybody. This is Carrie Spaulding, and this is Building Resilience in Children. And I'm so excited that you're on the call tonight and to share with you my tips for how to build resilience in kids. And I'm also going to preview for you my program for powerful parent communication and my exclusive six-step process for helping kids navigate conflict. So one of the most important and fundamental steps you can take to help your child build resilience is to become a powerful and effective communicator and to teach your skills, the skills to your children of being powerful and effective communicators. So when you know this process, you're going to feel empowered with the tools you need, and you're going to feel less overwhelmed, and so will your child. I'm here doing this work and teaching this class because I know firsthand the overwhelm of trying to help struggling children without the tools to do it. I've been there, and I truly believe that giving kids these tools and what they need to build resilience and navigate challenges is some of the most important work that we can do. When I work with parents, this is one of those areas that people have a big interest in getting help with. So again, if you're just joining us now, this is Carrie Spaulding, and this class is Building Resilience in Children. And this is a free seminar that's also a preview of a teleseries that kicks off next week called Helping Your Child Navigate Conflict, A Course in Powerful Communication for Parents. And throughout this call, I'll be sprinkling in information about what we're going to cover in that course. If you're already registered for the series, and I see that we've got some people on the line who are, I'm so happy to have you in this preview call before we kick off next week. And if you're a guest on this free preview call and just thinking about signing up, there will be an opportunity for you to learn about the full 5-week series, and I'll be letting you know how to register at the end of the call if that's something that interests you. And whether or not you sign up for the course, you'll be walking away tonight with some great tools to use with your child. So just to give you a little background about me, I am a certified professional coach. And in addition to my coaching business, I was a teacher for 9 years. I've taught in both public and independent schools. And the grades that I taught as a school teacher are 3rd grade, 5th grade, 7th and 8th grade. And in my private coaching and seminars, I specialize in relationships, transitions, and parenting and education, which is, of course, our focus tonight. But in working with parents, my biggest passion is helping parents with building a positive home and school culture and navigating their children's social and emotional challenges and positive, effective communication. And those things are all part of our work here tonight. So again, I'm so excited to welcome you to the call and to have you on this journey with me. And congratulations on being here, because after a long day when you could be doing any number of things, the fact that you're here really speaks of your tremendous commitment to your child, or children, of course, if you have more than one. So when it comes to helping children build resilience and face challenges and navigate social conflict, many parents and teachers are overwhelmed and even fearful. And I just want to say that I know with every fiber of my being that you can do this, whether you consider yourself a good communicator or not, whether you're a very woo-woo, emotional, connected person, or a very rational left-brainer, you can do this work. And no matter who you are, I have tools for you. So I invite you to play Fallout and take it in and see what works for you. So just to give you an overview of the call, tonight we're going to talk about how you can handle your child's social challenges in a way that promotes resilience and self-confidence and resourcefulness. We're going to identify beliefs about challenge and conflict that may be limiting you and your child. We're going to discuss how and why to shift from fixer mode to facilitator mode. And I'm going to teach you a really powerful set of tools that you can use to help your children work effectively with their challenges and their emotions, which is a key in building resilience. And because I really value your time and having you on the call live, I want to thank you for staying for the hour. And at the end of the call, I'm going to be giving you a website and a password that you can use to get access to written versions of some of these tools and some extras that will pertain to tonight's call. So this process and the tools I'm going to teach you have been used successfully with kids of all ages. And in fact, they work really well with adults as well, because as I'll talk about a little later in the call, kids are really just little people. And so, but they are people with different developmental levels. So I invite you to listen with an ear for how this works for you, and know that you might need to modify some of the language or concepts for your child's age and development level, since we do have a wide range on the call from what I saw in the registration. So we're just going to go over some logistics, and in a second you're going to be able to give me some feedback so that I know that you can actually hear me. You can communicate with me in two ways tonight, and the first way is on your phone's pin pad, which you can use to raise your hand and give me feedback. And so let's try that right now. Don't press anything yet, but in a moment, press 1 if you're a parent, press 2 if you're a teacher or an educator of any kind, and 3 if you're both. Okay, so go ahead and press 1 if you're a parent, 2 if you're a teacher, or 3 if you're both. Okay, giving people just a minute. We have, and some people haven't voted yet, and 4 if you're sleeping. So I can see of the people who have voted, we have a pretty even split between parents and people who are both parents and educators. Doesn't look like we have any childless educators on the line tonight. But we have a really good mix here, and that's fantastic. So you've just shown that if you raise your hand, you've successfully communicated with me, and you're going to have some opportunities to speak tonight. And the way that will work is that you can raise your hand, and then I can hand you the mic. I'm putting hands down now. So just to let you know, this call is being recorded, and it might be shared beyond this group in the future. So be aware if you participate. That other people might hear what you say besides the people who are just on the call tonight. And tonight is a content call, and Q&A is going to be mostly by email. If we have time, we'll do some questions. But we have a lot to cover tonight, and I just want to make sure that you get all of the tips and tools. So if you have questions, you can certainly email me. I'll give you my email now, and I'll be repeating it again at the end. So it is carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. That's carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. And in future calls and throughout the course, there's going to be a lot of time for Q&A on the call. But for tonight, another way that you can communicate with me is on your dashboard, which is on your computer. And that's the dashboard is just what the system that we're using calls the computer interface. So if you're not able to be near your computer or you don't want to be, that's totally understandable. No worries. But I'm going to tell you how to connect that way so that it's an option. So the dashboard is a place that you can send me a message. I'm the only one who can see what you type. So if at any point during the call you want to type in and write a comment or question or just say hi, you can do that on the dashboard. And so there are two ways to get to the dashboard. One is through your reminder email. If you received a reminder email today, there is a link in there, and this would be a reminder email from Maestro Conference, not the one from Eventbrite. There's a link in there to go to the participant dashboard, and if you click that link through your email, it should auto-fill your information. And another way to get there, if you didn't get that link or if you can't locate it, is to open up your browser and type www.maestroconference.com/dashboard. That's Maestro conference.com/dashboard. And there you can enter your dial-in and PIN information to get in. So to try out the dashboard, I don't know how many takers we have on there, but why don't you go ahead and type in, if you're connected on the dashboard, type in what city or state or both that you're calling from, and you can also type in the ages or the grades that you teach or the ages of your children. Okay, so I see we've got someone from Philadelphia with a 5-year-old son, and somebody else from Philadelphia. Okay, we have New Jersey on the line. Philadelphia, 4- and 6-year-old girls. And then another one from Philadelphia, lots of Philly representing, woohoo, 19- and 23-year-old sons. So great to have a huge age range on the call tonight. And we have a school social worker, an elementary and middle school, I guess an elementary and middle school social worker, 18-month-old daughter, and another one on the way. Ooh, congratulations from Pelicanwood. And we have another Philadelphia parent with an 11-year-old and a 5-year-old boy. Okay, and lots more coming in. So I'm going to move along, but that's a great range on the call tonight. And thank you to those who participated. And if you're not in the dashboard again, no worries. That's totally okay. And so we're going to actually jump right into our first tool tonight. And many of you, it's kind of a win-win, because this is a tool that we're going to use to get ourselves ready for the call, but it's also a tool that you can use with your children. And many of you may be jumping on the call after a long day of rushing around, or you know, just probably getting your kids off to wherever they need to be. So I want to invite you to let go of where you just came from and give yourself what you need to really be engaged and present for this call. So we're going to take a moment to use a tool called centering and to get centered right now. And this actually has two purposes. One is that it will help you get the most value out of this call. And another is that this is tonight's first tool that you can use with your children. So woohoo, you're getting your first tool in your tool belt. Centering is a really powerful resilience tool that you can use with and teach your kids to help them manage intense emotions and self-soothe. It's also really helpful, a little bit less to the point of our call tonight, but anytime your children need to focus, like if they're having a big event or a big, whether it's an academic event or a sports event, and they're feeling really overwhelmed, they can use this to help them get focused. I've seen this tool be incredibly powerful with children. And at the end of the call, I'm going to give you a great script you can use. That's one of the tools that you're going to get on the website in an area that's just for you so that you can practice using it with your children. So this centering can serve as a model, and it can also get you ready for this call. So if you're able to do so, you probably want to sit down, if you're not already, and close your eyes for this. Sit with awareness of your body in your chair or your sofa. Feel how it's supporting you. And notice your breath. It is your breath. Don't try to breathe in any certain way. Don't try to breathe big or deep or slow. Just notice it. Your breathing will naturally become slower and deeper. Just let it be what it is. You are here. Let go of where you came from and where you are going. With each exhale, breathe out the stress, the worries, the to-do list of your day. With each inhale, breathe in new energy that will allow you to be right here, right now, fully engaged in this moment. Breathe in, breathe out. Scan your body and notice where you're holding any tension. Notice the top of your head. Notice how it feels and allow it to relax. Try to create a feeling of warmth there and release any tension or stress from this area. As the top of your head relaxes, begin to think about relaxing your forehead. Create a cool feeling surrounding your forehead. You may even imagine a cool breeze against your face. Allow your face to totally relax. And now imagine a beautiful white light. Creating a feeling of warmth and relaxation, breathe the light into your neck and feel your neck relax. Breathe the light into your shoulders. Gently roll your shoulders to release any tension there. Breathe into your arms, your elbows, your wrists, and all the way to the tips of your fingers. Breathe the light into your chest, your torso, your core. Breathe into your thighs, your knees, your calves, and breathe into your feet and into your toes. Notice where you're still holding on to any tension, and do whatever you need to do to release it. Now imagine your child in front of you. See that your child has inside of him or her everything he or she needs to be resilient, resourceful, creative, and whole. Know that you have inside of you everything you need to support your child through challenges and conflicts. In a few seconds, it's going to be time to open your eyes. Tell yourself that when we reach the count of five, your eyes will open and you will be refreshed, relaxed, and feeling wonderful. Five, four, three, two, one. Open your eyes. So check in with yourself. How do you feel? And if you want to check in with me on the dashboard, you can tell me on there how you feel. Centering is a really powerful tool that we can use to calm ourselves when tension is high, when we're overwhelmed, when we need to be able to switch gears. And practicing centering can help kids learn to tune into their bodies and learn the power of breathing and directing their energy to help them feel better. And teaching children to center gives them a tool that they can use on their own. If you help your child practice centering at home, over time they can internalize it and they can do it on their own. And of course, that in the moment, you know, kids aren't going to go through a process that's as in-depth as what we just talked about, but I have seen kids who have had practice centering be able to pull themselves out and take the time to breathe and connect with their bodies. So that's a really, really powerful tool. And like I said, at the end of the call, you're going to get a link where you can get a script of a centering that you can use with your child. As someone's saying on the dashboard, it's like yoga. And someone says it feels relaxing and calm. So now that we're all here, really here and present, we're going to talk, of course, about building resilience in children. And I'm really curious to hear what resilience means to you. So whether you want to raise your hand by pressing 1 on your phone's keypad, and I can call on you to share with your voice, or whether you want to kind of type in a definition on the dashboard, what does resilience mean to you? I'll give you a minute to think about that. And if you want to share, you can just press a number on your PIN pad, and I can hand you the mic. Perhaps the centering has rested all of you so much that you were unable to move your fingers. Okay, if somebody says it's being able to bounce back from bumps in the road. Someone says, the world is a tough place and resilience is knowing you can handle it. Somebody else, having the tools to rebuild your house when it's been knocked down. Ooh, I love that. Being able to process and respond, calming to an action. Getting up after being knocked down. Great. So these are some fantastic definitions, and I'm so grateful to all of you for sharing the way you think about resilience. And it's interesting, it strikes me that a lot of people are talking about the idea of being knocked down. Somebody else says to bounce back, to be persistent. Interesting. Okay. And I'm really struck by the similarity between some of these ideas and some of these definitions. So I was interested to see what my computer dictionary would say about resilience, and it defines resilience as being able to recoil or spring back into shape after bending or stretching or being compressed, and then C-note at flexible, and also to be able to withstand or recover quickly from difficult conditions. So tonight we're going to talk about resilience in terms of telling the story of setbacks and handling setbacks in a way that empowers you and holds the big picture and is strengths-based, and being able to think about your thinking and your feeling and really be at choice with your thoughts. And people often describe resilience, and some of you, we even had somebody on the dashboard was talking about resilience as the ability to bounce back, and that's a great way of thinking of it. And tonight and through this series, I want to teach you to use challenges to help your child bounce forward. So not only to be able to recover and get back up again, but to have the story of getting stronger with every challenge and to actually use challenges to bounce them forward in their development. So in order to do this and in order to be resilient, children need the following five things. So the first thing they need is choice. They need to be empowered to know that they have a choice, and with choice comes responsibility and an opportunity at every moment in how they handle challenges. It's one of the most empowering things that we can teach our children, is that they have a choice in the way that they handle things. And they also need experiences. They need to be allowed to do the work of building resilience, which can be so challenging as a parent or an educator to see your child struggle. And so a lot of our work is going to be about helping them with those experiences, but they do need them. They need tools, and they need to have a lot of tools in their tool belts to pull from and to be skillful at identifying and communicating and working with their thoughts and emotions. And a big part of that toolkit is so important that it's worth listing separately as number four, and that's language and stories. They need to have language that empowers them rather than developing a sort of victim mentality. And they need to be choosing to tell the story of challenges and setbacks and conflicts in a way that says they're getting stronger rather than they're failing again. And so language and story are really important. Examples of stories and models and mentors that they can draw strength from are really important. And you're going to be getting a ton of that in the fourth week of the course. But not to worry, because tonight we're going to talk about some of the language that you can use to empower your children. And the fifth thing that they need is scaffolding and modeling. So they need support from empowering adults who believe that they can do it and can provide them with the language and tools that they need. And all of the other things on this list, they need you to help them do this. And we tend to think if children have a math or a reading challenge, we should get them extra help breaking down and practicing the skills for reading or for math. And if they have social and emotional challenges, the tendency is to think among educators and parents that they should just know how to do that. And of course, not all educators and not all parents. But there is a sort of cultural assumption that people need to be taught how to do math or how to read, but they should just know how to be kind or how to make friends or how to ask what they need. So I have a really powerful reframe for you, and it's one that I've seen really transform this kind of work for lots of parents and teachers that I work with. And this is the idea to treat children's social and emotional challenges like any other learning issue. So take all the judgment and all the emotional load off of yourself and let yourself think of this as another skill set that you're helping your child to develop. And just like anything else, just like math, just like reading, just like social studies and science, the skills of resilience are ones that can be learned and taught. And this is in and of itself a huge shift. And so it's also important to note, sometimes children don't show us evidence immediately that they are getting that they are getting things. And in the same way that we build blocks for mathematics and literacy in very, very early ages, we can also build the foundation for kids in resilience, even if they're not fluent with the language yet or don't always execute the skills. We can still lay that foundation and know that it's helping them as a framework. And the kids that I've coached and the parents I've coached to coach their kids through this, they become very aware of these skills, and they are aware of this tool set that they have, and they can choose them, and they can be sort of invited and encouraged to choose them. So our beliefs about, the next thing I want to talk about is our beliefs about challenge and conflict, because it can be really, really empowering or limiting to our children. So one of the most important things I want to teach you tonight is the importance of understanding and, if necessary, reframing your conflict stories and your beliefs. And this is directly related to your child's resilience. It's so important. What you believe and convey about challenges and conflicts impacts how your child approaches them and impacts your child's resilience. So some really, really common limiting beliefs about challenge and conflict are, it's my job to fix my child's problems. If I don't protect my children from pain, I'm failing them. My child can't handle this problem or this pain. My child is a victim. Conflict is bad and scary. And these are very understandable beliefs, and they all come from a really good helping place. And what's important is to channel the positive energy of those beliefs, that we want to support our children, and we want to take care of them, and we want to help them. And change their messages to empowering ones that are going to help children believe that they can solve their problems. And we all have a conflict story. There was a time you learned how to handle conflicts from your parents, from the schoolyard, from teachers. And part of this work is to identify, what is your conflict story? What does conflict or challenge tend to trigger in you? So because all of these, because conflict triggers us, because it's really hard to see a child with tears in his or her eyes, it's so important to put on your own safety mask before you try to assist your child. And that's actually in the six-step process that we're covering in the series. That's the first step. And it's so important that the other steps are not nearly as powerful without it. And you're going to get, in that first week, really clear on your buttons and triggers and beliefs. And you're going to learn five ways for you to put on your safety mask and clear the tension that comes from your child having a conflict, and get self-soothing techniques that both you and your child can use, in addition to the ones that I'm sharing tonight. So I want to share, just to be really vulnerable and open and share what our conflict stories can do, I'm going to share my story. And when I was a new teacher, I held the belief that it was my job to fix problems for kids. And if a kid brought me a problem and I couldn't solve it, I really believed that I had failed. I'd failed the children, and I'd failed their parents. And this put a lot of pressure on me. And I very clearly remember the feeling I would get in the pit of my stomach whenever I saw a child coming to me crying. It was very, very stressful. And if I was that stressed, if I wasn't taking care of myself, I really was very aware, like, how can I guide the children? I don't even get this, right? I'm upset myself. And a writer and speaker I really love, who some of you may be familiar with, is Brené Brown. And she has a great quote that we can't give people what we don't have. And I really felt that I couldn't help children solve their problems because I didn't have the confidence to do that. And, you know, if we believe conflict is scary and bad and has power over us, this message really translates to our children. Children are mirrors. If you show panic and anger and helplessness, they reflect that. And yet, you know, we all get triggered, and it's understandable. But if we think conflict is scary, what are we conveying to our kids? So when we hold the belief that it's our job to fix our kids' problems and that conflict is scary, it's no wonder that we feel helpless as parents and educators. And it ends up getting in our kids' way. And somebody's writing it on the dashboard, love her, I think talking about Brené Brown. That's great that we have another Brené Brown fan out there. She's really wonderful. So for years I was struggling, and I want to tell you about the huge shift I had from fixer mode to facilitator mode. So I had a light bulb moment one day a few years into my teaching career, and it was a moment that totally changed the way I thought about helping kids navigate challenges and build resilience. I call it, and some of you might have heard this, I say this in my workshop sometimes, I call it my Ally McBeal moment, because it was like those TV shows where by day we see the main character in their job as a lawyer or a doctor, and by night things are also happening in their lives that parallel whatever they're dealing with. And at the time, by day, in my teaching job, my students had been having a lot of social problems. We had a class that was particularly into it in social challenges. And I was, so you can imagine with how much I felt like it was my job to fix it, how stressful it was. And there was one night where a friend called me and was really, really upset, and she was having trouble with another friend, and she was just incredibly frustrated. And as she started talking to me, what I ended up doing is, you know, obviously it wasn't my job to fix the problem. I couldn't fix the problem. That wouldn't have been appropriate or possible. So I ended up really just kind of helping her make a plan for how she was going to communicate with her friend. And I remember she said, "I don't feel heard. I just wish that my friend would listen to me." And I realized after this conversation, in what I call a duh moment, which is like an aha moment, but one where you feel like, how did I not see this, that kids are just little people, and that my students, what they wanted most was to be heard, and they wanted to be empowered to create their own solutions. And I realized, just like it wasn't my job or my place to fix my friend's problem, it wasn't my job or my place to fix my students' problems. What was my job was to help them fix them. And from that point on, my approach to helping kids with their problems was transformed from fixer to facilitator. Now, by the end of my teaching career, one of my favorite parts of my jobs was helping kids navigate conflicts and challenges, and I really mean that. And now as a coach, I help parents and educators facilitate conflict and challenge navigation with their kids. And it's totally natural to want to protect our children from pain. It's wired in us. It's in the messages we get constantly. But if we carry them over the mountain every time, they're not going to grow the muscles they need to get over the mountain on their own. You have so much power to empower your child. So that you can do that, it's really important to give yourself the skills that you need. And tonight I want you to walk away with an understanding of the value of switching from fixing to facilitating. And, oh, there's a great comment on the dashboard. I want to take a look at this and share it with you. The difference between fixing the problem for the child is that they look outward for your help. If you guide them as they navigate the path to change their problems and conflicts and challenges, they will look within to change their problems and conflicts. Maria, that is wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. That's so well said. So just to build off of that, when you make that switch from fixing to facilitating, the first thing is that it helps you really feel calm and empowered yourself. Instead of that pressure of fixing and solving, you're able to step into this role as a facilitator, and this makes you best able to help your child. Your child picks up on that calm and doesn't get that message that this conflict is a crisis, but it's actually something that we can take a look at together and get curious about. It also helps your child learn agency, just like Maria said on the dashboard, and self-efficacy instead of helplessness and victimhood, and let me look for somebody else who can solve my problem. And then the other reality is that you're not the one in the trenches. You can't be there all the time to fix it. So it's really, really important that we give our children the skills that they need to solve their own problems. So there's so many wonderful tools, and we're going to go into a lot of them in the course, but I really want you tonight to walk away with a little toolkit that will help your child recognize and work skillfully with his or her emotions. And so we're going to jump into that. And I love that people, I'm trying to kind of keep an eye on the dashboard. I love these contributions that are coming in. I'm going to teach you an acronym, FLOAT, that you can use with your child. FLOAT, FLOAT. And anytime you can put something into an acronym, really honestly for an adult or a child, but especially for a child, it can be helpful not only as a little memory trigger, but it also can add a little bit of levity to the situation. So you can remind your child, instead of reminding your child, use your words and check in with your body and do this and do that, you can say, remember to float, right? Or did you float? So the first thing you want to do is, in order to do this process, is to get the child's buy-in. Okay? This is a great question to get buy-in. How helpful would it be for me to teach you a toolkit to calm down or get what you need when you're feeling bad? So you want to raise this not in a time when your child is in crisis, not in a time when your child is sobbing and crying. You want to bring this up at a calm time. How helpful would it be for me to teach you a toolkit to calm down and get what you need when you're feeling bad? So even in that language, it's empowering the child. It's a toolkit that the child is going to have to calm down and get what they need when they're feeling bad. So the centering is actually a really great place to start with this before we even jump into the acronym. And in the centering tool that I'm giving you tonight, the centering language, there's even a little bit of language about floating in it. So that kind of fits nicely with the idea of the acronym. So, and I'll direct you to that at the end of the call. So the F in float stands for feelings. And the first step is for your child to be able to identify what he or she is feeling. I'm going to give you as another freebie tonight a really great list of feelings that you can help your child build the vocabulary of feelings. And there are words on that list that are going to be not preschool words. I know that we have several preschool parents on the call tonight. But there are, you know, you can pick and choose, and actually there may be some words that you think of as more sophisticated that, you know, kids love words that feel juicy. So you might have some fun teaching them some of these words that have some nuance. So the first step in is feelings, and that's to identify their emotions. And for now, I'm going to teach you a lot in the series about how you as a parent or educator can use language to communicate this. But for tonight, we're going to keep it really simple. So you can just try. If how are you feeling doesn't produce sort of anything, I don't know. Or you can try, it sounds like you're feeling, fill in the blank. It sounds like you're feeling frustrated. It sounds like you're feeling left out. It sounds like you're feeling impatient. It sounds like you're feeling angry. And it's really important to help children learn to recognize how they feel emotions in their bodies. This is a really, really powerful skill for them to have, because when they know, when they can tell in their bodies where they feel a certain kind of emotion, it helps them learn to detect warning signs when their feelings are escalating. And this is especially powerful. I don't know if we have anyone out there who has a very highly sensitive or highly emotional child, but this skill is extra important for you. And so the warning signs in their bodies and being able to be in touch with that can help them self-regulate and notice when they need to back off a little bit and take care of themselves. So you can help them do figure that out by saying, okay, so if they say, I'm feeling angry, or you say, it sounds like you're feeling angry, and they say, yeah, I'm really angry, you can say, where do you feel the anger in your body? Sometimes I would say to kids, you know what, when I'm, maybe it's nervous, when I'm nervous, I feel it in my knees. Where do you feel it? Because everybody's different. That also helps them kind of get that message that everybody feels things differently and there's no right or wrong way. So challenge yourself not to judge the feelings, okay? And when you allow your child to feel however they feel and you just accept that feeling, you're really giving them messages that their feelings are okay. And this is great. There's a comment on the dashboard that's really connected to that. Whatever word they choose, go with it. Don't change their feeling from mad to angry, for example. That's a great point, and one of the reasons that it's great to have build your child's vocabulary of nuanced feelings. Some kids will say that they feel a certain way because they just lack the vocabulary for whatever they are feeling. But if they do give you a word, it's really important to accept that. So the next step, the L in float, is level. And this is about teaching your children to scale their feelings, to consider just how big a deal it is, to consider just how strongly they're having a feeling. And when I say scale, I'm talking about a scale of 1 to 10. But there are, I'm going to give you 4 tactile or experiential ways for you to demonstrate scale with your kids. And these are going to be great. Kids, anytime you can give them a visual or a tactile explanation, it really, really helps them connect to it. So you're going to, with level, you're teaching children to check in with themselves, and it can help them, it can really empower them to read the urgency of a feeling or the hugeness of a feeling inside of them, and it can help them de-escalate their feelings just considering how big a feeling it is. For example, if they're feeling angry, and then they kind of check in and they say, I'm on level 4 angry, well, automatically that can be a little bit calming. And we're going to talk in a minute about what happens when your kids say, well, it's a 10, it's a 10, it's a 10, about everything, beyond providing some comic relief for you, which it can sometimes be pretty funny what comes up as a 10. So it can actually, one of the cool things about leveling for children is that then you can actually teach them to turn up and down the feeling, right? So if they say, well, I'm feeling a frustration 7, you can say, okay, show me an 8. Well, what does an 8 feel like? And then you can help them turn it down. What does a 5 look like in frustration? And this way they can really, they can check in and notice with themselves that they do have the ability to manage their feelings. And this takes some practice. It's not going to be like on the first go. They're totally skilled with this. but it's a practice. So here are four tactile and experiential ways for you to demonstrate this with kids. One is to actually find either a stereo or something with a knob, a volume knob, a radio, or even today, like if you're on an iPod, you know, there's the wheel, the volume wheel. And talk about the idea of turning the volume up or down on a feeling. So if you have a stereo and you can say, okay, this is what a 3 is, this is what a 5 is, and you can sort of see the feeling getting louder or quieter. That's one way. Another way is to think about air in a balloon or a tire. So you can talk about how much air is in the balloon, and it's like if the feeling gets too big, I feel like I'm just going to pop, right? And there's a tool we're going to talk about in a second for options where you can also talk about this metaphor of letting a little bit of air out of the balloon or out of the tire to calm yourself down. Another way is a rubber band. So stretching a rubber band, and as it gets closer and closer to a 10, it's almost like it's going to snap. And so that's a third way. And then a fourth one is really good for energy level, if they're feeling tired or exhausted or spent or just kind of used up. And that's a gas tank. Or alternately, certain video games, right? So how many lives you have or how much life a character has. If you have a child who loves video games, you can use that as a metaphor. You can say, where's your energy level, or how many, you know, where would your life level be? Or a gas tank, right? So this idea, you want to use something that your child can connect to from their real life. And that works really well for energy because it brings up this question, like, how full is your tank? So be sure to honor whatever number they give. You want to teach them to scale on 1 to 10. So 1 is there's no air at all in the balloon, and 10 would be the balloon is so full that it's about to pop, for example. If you ask them to level their feelings and they say 4, be sure to honor a 4. In other words, just because they level something a 4, you don't want to say, oh, okay, you're fine. Because you want to teach them that they don't have to act out a 10 in order to be taken seriously. Kids will sometimes exaggerate or amp up whatever feeling they're having because they need to prove that it's legitimate, and they want you to know that. And so if you only accept or react to a 10, then sometimes they're going to act out a 10 just so that they can get their feeling taken seriously. So the next, you know, if the child gives it a 10, you know, and it seems like a pretty minor thing, it can be really helpful to give them a meaning for the scale in real life. So 1 is you're a little bit, you're feeling just a teeny bit bothered, and 10 is that this is the worst thing that's ever happened to you, and it's so bad that you're going to remember it on your college graduation day. Just to add a little humor into it. And that way they can, you know, they can really get a sense of extremes. So the next three parts of the acronym, we've got feelings and we've got leveling. And this is really just about helping children recognize and identify and communicate their emotions. The next letters are really about helping your children self-soothe and manage intense feelings. So O stands for options. And this is where your child brainstorms possible ways to move forward. And this step is largely about helping your child be at choice. Your child always has a choice as to how to handle any situation. So there are 4 ways that that you can kind of help your child collect ideas for how to change scenes, switch gears when they're having a really intense emotion. Because this flow process works really well when kids are triggered, when they're upset, when they're trying to calm themselves down. So one is a physical change, doing something actually with their body. So getting a drink of water, you want your kids to brainstorm these ideas together with you. Getting a drink of water, lie down and close my eyes for 10 minutes, find a quiet spot to breathe in, breathe out. And you can also think about a social change. So what people, you know, surrounding myself with different people, going and talking to so-and-so. Doing something nice for somebody else. And again, have your child brainstorm possible things. Another is an attentional change, which there's some overlap here. Of course, all of these things are going to shift their attention. But, you know, they can brainstorm things that distract me. A lot of kids just having a different activity that they can pick up, whether they can draw or they can read or they can clean their cubby at school, you know, can really, really help them shift gears. And then another is an environment change, just physically getting out of the space that they're in. And so sometimes getting to a place that they feel good or even just physically moving to a different place can really, really help them. So the idea is that with O is that your child can check in and brainstorm some options for themselves. And we're going to go into a lot of depth in this in the course, but I want to repeat those things for you for now that you can check in. So help your child, and this is not something to do in the moment. This is something to brainstorm with your child so that they have it in their toolkit later. Physical change, social change, attentional change, environmental change. And someone else is sharing a similar idea, SODAS. Ooh, that's a great acronym. What's the situation? What are your options? What are the disadvantages? What are the advantages of each option? And what's your solution? Very cool. Thank you for sharing that. So kind of going back to the idea of the tactile experiential demonstrations, you might use the metaphor of a stuffed school bag. It's like, you know, when every kid can connect to that, when they can't even zip up their school bag because it's so full. So then maybe they're feeling really overwhelmed. It's like, what can you take out? What can you take out? What can you do to help yourself feel a little less overwhelmed? Or if you already used a metaphor in leveling, connect to that. So if the idea is, you know, is about turning up or down the volume level, well, what are some things I could do to turn up the turn down the volume? Or if it's a good feeling, turn up the volume. A flashlight is a great metaphor that I learned from a wonderful mindfulness educator named Jenny Rocha. And it's the idea that you get to choose where you shine your attention. Another one is if you're using the air or the balloon imagery, what can I do to let a little bit of air out of that balloon when I'm feeling really frustrated? So again, we want to think about physical changes, social changes, attentional changes, and environment changes. And then A is act. This is where the child chooses one of the options and does it. So it's pretty simple. And as they're doing that, they're also doing T, which stands for thoughts. And we're going to do a ton of deeper work on this, but the idea is help your child choose thoughts that are empowering and that are going to support him or her. And these can be affirmations that you come up with your child, but these are the opposite of the thoughts that are going to knock them down, right? And so the idea is that as your child goes off taking that action, they're supporting themselves with one or two really empowering thoughts, okay? So for a child, I'm just going to give you one example because we don't have all the time in the world tonight, but for a child who tends to feel really sensitive and feel things really deeply, an empowering thought as they're acting might be, I know how to calm myself down, or I have tools to get cool. Anything that you can give your, you know, give your child this process where they can come up with these thoughts, can really help them as they go into whatever the action is to have those empowering thoughts. So this is how this might sound if a child did it quickly in the moment. It's going to take practice at first. But feeling level, options, act, and thoughts. So it might go, I'm feeling angry. I can tell because my head is really hot right now. Level. My level of anger is at an 8. Options. Okay, so in order to bring my 8 down to a 5, I could, and then that's where you're going to fill in whatever works for your child. I could get a drink of water. I could, you know, I could write in my journal. I could read. I could run around the playground 5 times. I could go talk to a teacher. I could go talk to a different friend. I mean, the list is endless. But it won't be endless for your child because you're going to think about some things that will work for them. Act, and then while I'm doing that, I'm going to think, I have the tools I need to calm down. Or I'm going to think, you really need to find, this is very personal, so you need to think about one that's going to really work for your child. While I'm doing it, I'm going to think, you know, anything that is a thought that you and your child come up with together that's going to really empower them. So on the dashboard or raising your hand, I'm curious, how can you see the float process helping your child? Or are there any questions about the process? Any questions or how can you see yourself using this with your child? Somebody says, I can see this really helping my child calm down. Do Taking a look at the dashboard. Okay, well, keep on. I'd love to have your participation, so I'd love to hear from some more people. And so when you're using this process, you can also be pulling from some of these other tools. And remember that centering is one of the pieces of the toolkit that your child can use. So this can be a very, very quick process, or it can be a slower one. And it's actually one that I invite you to use with yourself. This is a process that works with adults as well. I've used it myself sometimes. And as a little homework assignment, it might be something good for you to practice float yourself. Somebody says they like the acronym. What if the kid, okay, this is a great question. What if the kid says no to the initial question about how helpful would it be for me to teach you? So one thing, we're going to talk a ton about empowering questions. And actually, this is somebody who's been in one of my seminars before, so this will be a little bit of a review for you. We're going to talk a lot about how to ask really powerful questions to children and what to do if they don't respond to your questions. You're not going to ask a yes or no question, so your kid won't say no to the initial question about how helpful it would be for me to teach you. But if you say, how helpful would it be for me to teach you some tools for you to use, and they say, not helpful, one really helpful way to handle that is, again, to acknowledge and accept where they are. So you could try saying, it sounds like you're really not ready to move forward from this. When you are, I'm ready to help you. And try that, and then try just stepping back, because then you've given them the message, I have this toolkit for you, and I'm happy to share it with you, but it's for you. It's not for me. And again, so you're acknowledging how they're feeling, and you're saying that's perfectly okay. And then, you know, you're giving them an option to come back to you when they're ready for it. Okay. And somebody says, I'm working on feeling with my 18-month-old as I'm trying to teach her the names of some emotions and that it's okay to be mad. I'm having a difficult time showing her examples of my mad or sad feelings, but can find many times to show example of happy. I also work on options with her. Do you want my help? Great. So you're checking in with her, and you're telling her that you're there for her to help her through it. And so thank you for sharing that. And I'm not sure if you had a question there about your showing your examples of mad or sad, but it's good that you're feeling happy a lot. So I'm going to tell you at the top of the call, I want to tell you about this parent communication course. I told you at the top, one of the most important and fundamental steps you can take to help your child build resilience is to become a powerful and effective communicator and to teach your child the skills of being a powerful and effective communicator. So after years of experimenting and honing, I've put all this into a 6-step process, and I've spent a decade creating a system to help your child navigate challenges and conflict. And I'm going to share it with you because I know how transformative it can be. And this course that's coming up, it starts next week. It's about putting tons of tools in your tool belt and giving you tools that you can give to your child. And I was just looking at the course materials last night. I kind of can't believe how much is packed in there. And I'm so excited to share these things with you. And so I'm going to give you a little overview of the call. Then I'm going to tell you how to contact me with any more questions that you have. And I'm going to give you that link to the website where you can get some of those tools that I've been mentioning and the password so that you can get up there. So we're going to be talking about, in the course, helping your child navigate conflict, a powerful communication course for parents. I'm going to be giving you tools that apply to conflict in communication in every area of your life, not just with your child. So when you master these tools, you're going to be a more powerful and effective leader and communicator at home and at work and in your personal life. And you're going to be giving your child the tools so that she can be an agent, or he can be an agent instead of a victim, and learning the language and communication skills that will support your child's self-image. And the course is a combination of instruction, like what you've had tonight, and coaching. So when it comes to the content, I'm going to give you my very best expertise and strategic input. And with the Q&A and the coaching, I'll be also helping you to discover what works best in your situation. And so what's included in this course is 5 60-minute classes. They're weekly with lots of opportunities for participation and live coaching and questions. You're going to get a workbook. You're going to have email support between classes. You get a one-on-one private coaching consultation with me to apply it to your own life. And you also will get access to a recording of each call in case you have to miss a class. And your investment for the class is $199. And what I'm going to do right now is give you an overview of the weeks very, very quickly. So in the first week, you're going to be really going into detail on your own triggers, and you're going to learn how to put on your own safety mask and learn self-soothing techniques for you and your child. You're going to learn your buttons and your beliefs that might be limiting you and your child, and you're going to learn 5 ways to clear the tension when your child has a conflict. You're also going to learn to identify values that are going to be really helpful in creating your ideal image of your child solving problems. In the second week, I'm going to teach you some communication tools that are actually really great for your own conflicts and for, you know, whether it's with your children or not, to teach you how to really help your children feel heard. You're going to learn communication skills that will help your child open up. And I'm going to teach you a communication syndrome to watch out for and a method to help you instead of that sort of positive critique, instead of that sandwich method of positive and then critique and positive, I'm going to teach you a new method to help give your child feedback while also being able to really stay really positive. And in the third week, we're going to learn how to ask the right questions to get your child to talk to you and to plant the seeds for success. And we're also going to do some work around interpretations and assumptions. In the fourth week, we're going to do a lot more work around resilience, and you're going to learn to help your child create a plan and build a team of supporters. You're also going to get tips for working with highly emotional and expressive and sensitive children, and you're going to learn the power of stories and how to teach your child to choose supportive stories and affirmations and self-talk. And you're going to also learn to help kids recognize their own gremlins, their own I'm not good enough voices. And you're also going to learn how to build your own support network. And that's going to go into week 5, where we're going to talk about how to talk to teachers and other parents. And you're going to learn how to effectively partner with teachers and other parents, and also what to do if your child is the one that's being unkind. It's not always black and white, right, or cut and dry, one child being kind and the other unkind. But sometimes we can tell that you know, our own children are maybe not acting in a way that we want them to. And so we're going to talk about how to handle that and support your child while also holding him or her accountable. And then we're going to talk about how to follow through and follow up and celebrate. So as a wrap-up for the call, I want to remind you that you have a week before this class starts. So the class is on Mondays from 8:30 to 9:30 p.m. at this time, starting next week. And it's also on Tuesdays. You have 2 choices, Monday nights or Tuesdays from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And it's open to parents and educators. I'm going to put a link up on the dashboard that will take you there. Just getting that for you right now. And I'm also putting up the link for the bonus. And if you don't have that, I'm going to say them for you, but I'm going to tell you how to get them. But I want to make sure that people on the dashboard can see them. Okay.
If you're listening to the replay of this call, welcome and thanks for listening. You missed the bonus, but you can find lots of articles, tips, and tools at www.carriespaulding.com. That's www.carriespaulding.com. Now returning to Monday's call.
I'm seeing a lot of really lovely feedback on the dashboard. And I'm seeing this is very helpful, very interesting. I'm so glad to hear that. How long will the links be available? They will be up for at least the next week until the official class starts. So I hope these tips and tools have given you some insight and empowerment on how to help your child build resilience. I invite you to email me at carrie.spaulding@gmail.com. That's carrie.spaulding@gmail.com, or call me at 602-684-2458. And I hope you'll visit the website and get the tools that are my gift to you here for being here for this long tonight. And on there is the feelings list and a centering script and some articles around reframing beliefs about conflict. And, okay, everybody, we're going to say goodnight. Oh, someone's saying, loved it. I'm so glad. And I look forward to hearing from you. And I really hope to see you in class next week. All right, everybody, goodnight.